Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking, and welcome to today's episode. Today, I'm talking about the power of the conscience. The power of the conscience. Because it's an important tool for discerning the voice of God. I want to tell you a story to get started here about a man named Sergeant Ray Bartz. And he's of the Midvale, Utah Police Department. This is a true story. Apparently, Sergeant Ray opened his wallet at the store, and he noticed that his driver's license had expired. Well, embarrassed at having caught himself red-handed, he decided that he had no alternative. He calmly and deliberately pulled out his ticket book, and he wrote himself a citation. Well, Sergeant Ray later took the ticket to the city judge, who fined him. And when the judge inquired about the sergeant's actions, Bartz replied, "How could I give a ticket to anyone else for an expired license in the future if I didn't cite myself?" Friends, Sergeant Ray listened to his conscience. Have you heard your conscience speak to you lately? Listen to how important the conscience is. In the words of Martin Luther, "I cannot and will not recant anything," said Luther, "for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God. Amen." In the words of Martin Luther, to go against our conscience is neither safe nor right. That tells us that we had better pay attention to our conscience. And today I want to talk about three main points. I want to talk about a conscience supplied, a conscience seared, and a conscience sanctified. Let's start with a conscience supplied. First of all, what is our conscience? Well, the conscience is a gift that God has given to every human being. And it's what distinguishes us from the animal realm. The conscience is an internal capacity to discern the difference between right and wrong. And it operates according to how well it has been programmed. We'll talk about that a bit more later. But basically, the conscience is an internal capacity, a moral arbiter, really, to discern between right and wrong. And every human has been supplied a conscience. Now, the Hebrew word for conscience is leb. It's actually usually translated as heart in the Old Testament. The conscience is so much at the core of the human soul that the Hebrew mind did not draw a distinction between conscience and the rest of the inner person. And so it's been translated as heart. And so really, when Moses recorded that Pharaoh had hardened his heart in Exodus 8, he was actually saying that Pharaoh had steeled his conscience against God's will. And when Scripture speaks of a tender heart in 2 Chronicles 34, it's referring to a sensitive conscience. When David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart," in Psalm 51, he was seeking to have his life and his conscience cleansed. All right, God has given everyone a conscience, which is the ability to discern right from wrong. And in this sense, the conscience can serve, when it acts properly, as an alarm bell. Did you know that ever since 1811, when someone defrauded the government anonymously and sent $5 to Washington, D.C., ever since then, in 1811, the U.S. Treasury has operated a conscience fund? And since that time, almost $3.5 million has been received from guilt-riddled citizens? So indeed, all of humanity has been given this gift of a conscience. And the book of Romans goes so far as to say humans are without excuse, for the Lord has written his law on their very hearts. That is the stuff of conscience, a conscience supplied. Now, we're going to pause and listen to a song by the Atkins called What If God Says No? And when we come back, we're going to talk about a conscience seared and a conscience sanctified. Stay tuned.
Stopped her life, and ever since that moment he prayed God would heal his wife. She got weaker by the minute in that hospital bed, and she could see that he was mad at God, so she took his hand and said, what if God says no? It don't mean he loves us less. It just means he knows what's best. Whoa. What if God says no? It's enough we have his grace. So don't let go of your faith. What if God says no? Just south of Atlanta, it's been slow out on his job, but now he's loving on his family and has time to talk to God. He's praying that a miracle will turn his business back around. What if God gives him the answer that his grace is good for now? What if God says no? It don't mean he loves us less. It just means he knows what's best. Oh, what if God says no? It's enough we have his grace. So don't let go of your faith. Oh, what if God says no? Jesus prayed on the last night before he was crucified and said, Daddy, could you let this pass me by? But God saw the big picture that it had to be done. So as much as it hurt, he couldn't say yes to his son. What if God says no? It don't mean he loves us less. It just means he knows what's best.
says no. Says no.
Welcome back. We've been talking today about the power of the conscience. And in the last segment, we talked about how the conscience is supplied. Now I want us to talk about how the conscience is seared, and then close with how the conscience can be sanctified. Let's now talk about a conscience seared. What do I mean by that? Well, I'd like to begin with a story. In 1984, there was an airlines that jet crashed in Spain. It was called an Avianca airliner, and it crashed into a mountain. Now, investigators studying the accident made a very eerie discovery. It turns out that the black box cockpit recorders revealed that several minutes before impact, a computer-synthesized voice called out from the warning system, "Pull up! Pull up!" But the pilot, thinking the system was malfunctioning, snapped, "Shut up!" And he switched the system off. Friends, that can happen to us with our conscience. Our conscience can be shut off. To better understand this, I just want to back up and explain how the conscience is actually programmed. Our conscience is much like a computer. And the conscience is programmed as we grow up through various forces. First of all, it is programmed by our family. When our parents teach us appropriate behaviors, they're programming our conscience. Now, maybe you're saying, my parents didn't teach me well. They taught me badly. That's still programming. They were programming your conscience. Another way the conscience is programmed is corporately. What that means is by the governments and the schools and the civic society at large. And so when the parliament passes a law about ethical behavior, that programs our conscience. Another way that our conscience can be programmed is through the Word of God. We see the first programming of the human conscience in Genesis 2, when God gives the first rule to Adam. In Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die.'" That, friends, is programming. The Word of God can program the conscience. And so we program our conscience through our parents, through our governments, our schools, and through the Word of God. And interestingly, what happens is through poor programming, our conscience becomes seared. What I mean by seared is damaged. You see, you cannot always trust your conscience. There are 7 different words associated with the word conscience in Scripture. There's a good conscience in Acts 23. There's a blameless conscience in Acts 24, and a clear conscience in 2 Timothy. Those are good adjectives, but listen to this. 1 Corinthians 8 speaks of a weak conscience. Titus 1 speaks of a defiled conscience. Hebrews 10 speaks of an evil conscience. And 1 Timothy 4 speaks of a seared conscience by means of the hypocrisy of liars who seared their own conscience as with a branding iron, says the text. So our conscience can be damaged or seared. You know, all you have to think about with the schools is how they decided to take out the Lord's Prayer. That's programming. And it has an impact. And when the United States chose to do away with the Ten Commandments, that's programming. It affects the conscience. Well, let's look specifically at how the conscience was seared in the Genesis 3 account. I told you that God programmed Adam's conscience with an instruction in Genesis 2 that he was not to eat from a tree. Look at what happens. The word of God was suddenly questioned. It was questioned. We see that the serpent appears and says to the woman, "Did God really say? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" To which the woman replied, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle." To which the serpent then presented a lie. He said, "You will certainly not die." Well, what happens when the word of God is questioned is that Eve then chose to violate her conscience. She violated it. It says in verse 6 that when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She gave some to her husband, who also ate it. She violated her conscience, and the immediate result is that guilt was triggered. When we violate our conscience, guilt is not far away. In verse 7, it says, "The eyes of the woman and the man were opened, and they realized that they were naked." This, my friends, is the stuff of shame. So, our conscience can be violated. And if we do not listen to the word of God, it can be seared. But we have good news. We've talked now about a conscience supplied and a conscience seared. I want to talk about in a few moments how the conscience can be sanctified. But first, let's pause and listen to a song by the John Grove Choral Society called "Trust and Obey."
Says we will do where he says.
Welcome back to Good News Christian Ministries. This morning we're talking about the power of the conscience. We talked first about how the conscience is supplied. Then we talked about how the conscience can be seared. I want to close by talking about how the conscience can be sanctified. Let me ask you, can you trust your conscience to make decisions? In actual fact, you cannot always trust it. In fact, in the words of Charles Stanley, a conscience is not designed to be our guide. It is a tool of the guide. Did you catch that? A conscience is not designed to be our guide. It is a tool of the guide. This is important, friends, because far too often people simply say, let your conscience be your guide. But that's not always a wise thing to do. 1 Timothy 1 speaks about how people followed their damaged consciences. And the text explains in 1 Timothy 1:18 to 20 that the people, as a result, suffered shipwreck. Because the men in the church at Ephesus, who were teaching false doctrine, led people astray. We cannot always trust our conscience. And we heard in the last segment that we are susceptible to a weak conscience, a seared conscience, and heaven forbid, an evil conscience. I've got a little story here, a little humor. A man consulted a doctor, and he said, I've been misbehaving, doc, and my conscience is troubling me, he complained. And to which the doctor said, and you want something that will strengthen your willpower? Well, no, said the fellow. I was thinking of something that would weaken my conscience. Friends, we can weaken our conscience when we allow our feelings to override God's word, when we allow friends to override our parents' teachings, when we allow prosperity to override our conscience. We can weaken our conscience. Only a good conscience will protect us. So let's be clear that the conscience is not infallible, and nor is it a source of revelation about right and wrong. It's not God's voice. It's merely a moral arbiter that teaches us right from wrong based on how well it has been programmed. So a good conscience will protect us. And Charles Stanley gives us helpful indicators of when we can trust our conscience to be our guide. He says the following: we can trust our conscience under certain conditions, namely when Jesus Christ is our Savior. Second, when the Word of God is the basis of our conduct. Third, when we have a strong desire to obey the Lord. Fourth, when we prayerfully consider our decisions. Fifth, when our conscience instantly sounds an alarm. Instantly, not a week later, but instantly. Sixth, when we feel guilt immediately after being disobedient. And seven, when we're compelled to repent of our sin. In those circumstances, we can trust our conscience. David refers to this daily type of training in Psalm 119. Verse 11, he says, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Notice what's going on here, the cause and effect. David is programming his heart with God's standards, and when the alarm system goes off, he will quickly know that the standard is in jeopardy and how to respond to the alarm. J. Oswald Sanders says this concerning the conscience: every conscience needs instruction. Its delicate mechanism has been thrown off balance by the fall, just as a bullet will reach the bullseye only if the two sights are in correct alignment. So correct moral judgments are delivered only when the conscience is correctly aligned with the scriptures. Now, for those of you who have an uneasy conscience, right now as you listen, you've been having sleepless nights. Your conscience has been eating away at you. You know you've done something wrong, or you're about to do something wrong. The good news is your conscience can be sanctified. What do I mean by that? Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, very quickly in verse 8, it didn't take long for God to reappear. It says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord, of course. But the Lord God called out to the man, 'Where are you?'" Friends, if you have fallen short, if you have messed up this week, this month, this year, if your conscience is plaguing you, God is walking in the cool of the day. And he's calling to you, "Where are you?" You need only return to him. Your conscience can be sanctified. It can be cleansed. And then, in the words of 1 Timothy 3, you will hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And so, in the words of Hebrews 10:22, I want you to draw near to God this morning with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having your hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your divine wisdom you supplied all of humanity with a conscience. Now we confess, Lord, that we have failed to program our conscience properly. As parents, we have not necessarily instructed our children wisely. As a society, we have perhaps not passed laws that uphold your moral standards. And in our individual lives, we have not daily programmed our conscience with the Word of God. So we thank you that you have supplied a conscience, but we confess that our conscience falls short of the glory of God. Some of us have a weak conscience. Some of us a seared conscience. Heaven forbid, some of us an evil conscience. But we come to you right now and ask that you would sanctify us, and that means including our conscience. Will you sanctify our conscience? We come to you, for you make all things new. And I'd ask that you would cleanse each person this day with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, forgive them and encourage them and lift them up out of the pit of despair, that they can begin again with you. And God, just equip us day by day, that we would have very sensitive consciences that are trustworthy and that serve as alarm bells to protect us. We ask all this in your strong name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.